So welcome to the episode of 365.live, and today I have Bridge O'Shea and Doug Ridgelidge. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thanks for coming on. And we're just going to spend the next 15 minutes talking about who Bridge are, what products you do, some interesting projects that you worked on in the Skype and Microsoft UC space, and hopefully we'll get some interesting content out. So I guess introductions first. So Doug, who are you?
My name is Doug Rutledge. I am a co-founder and senior developer here at Bridge Communications. We have been in business for a little over 10 years in this sector. We started with our Attenda console side of things on the Cisco Unified Communications platform, but a few years ago we branched out and we took a lot of what we learned over there and brought it to our product that we offer on the Skype for Business side, which is the Bridge Operator console.
Cool. And this is what we're seeing on the screen right now, I guess. The
yep, version that's
three.
Correct.
So do you mind taking us through the console just to call
yeah,
out the biggest features?
Sure. The Bridge Operator console, I guess from a 1,000-foot view, looks very much like a Microsoft Office application with a ribbon on top and panels and things on the side. So it's... Anybody who's used to using Outlook or anything like that, it's really intuitive to figure out. The basic thing that an Attenda console function desires to be is a time saver. We've seen, you know, in the course of 10 years, just about every possible way you could use a product like this in every different kind of enterprise. But the idea is to make things fast for the person answering the phone, get the caller to the right place. So I'll just run through a few technologies that we've pioneered over the years that have made that a little bit easier for folks. One thing that I like is a function that we came up with 6 or 7 years ago called Park4. When I envision Park4 being super useful is when someone is on the phone. So yeah. Say we've got this guy and he's already on the phone and we have another call for him. So rather than the operator having to decide, okay, I'm going to put in his voicemail or whatnot, we let the user decide which call is more important to them. So by doing a Park4, it takes use of the existing parking lot that's available in the platform, but it also sends out a message then to the user on the other end that says, hey, you've got a call from this company, it's parked here, and if you click that little hyperlink, then you get the parked call, which the user then did. So
is that is that utilizing Skype's call park, or is this your own?
It's all using the Skype for Business call park. So it is a feature that doesn't work with the current cloud PBX offering, but we have another version that's similar. It's a transfer call after current call ends, and it sends them a similar message, let them know, hey, this call's waiting for you, and it'll transfer as soon as you hang up, and then the operator doesn't have to worry about the call. He or she can just go about doing other things, and as soon as that person's ready, the call just automatically transfers. That's one technology that I really like. Predictive transfer is our big one that we sort of were talking to various different folks over the last year or so. We decided we have enough information and enough computing power to build something that can tell the operator who the call is for before the caller tells them.
Right.
And that's what predictive transfer does. It uses up to five machine learning algorithms, depending on how you're built out, to figure out, who in the organization has called this number recently, who this number has been transferred to recently by, various different people, people in the same department that are similar, and it builds out a list on the fly when a call comes in. You can see here it's already built out a list of the five people, and it'll do up to 40, depending on, how many people this number has interacted with or people like that.
Sure.
But it'll build out a list automatically of people that it figures are most likely for the call to be transferred to. And, it's as simple as just doing that and the call's off. So, it saves that 10 or 15 seconds of either searching or finding a group and scrolling around and trying to find the user.
So is this console, is this a front-end to a back-end server application, or is it all client-based? So all of this... algorithm.
It can actually go either way. So in the full client-server deployment, it gets a couple other algorithms, if you will, because it can share information with the other users. So if we have 10 operators, you know, then we don't have to say, well, this operator number 8 never took a call from this number, so we don't know. But in a client server deployment, it can share a little bit more information. If it's just a standalone client, then it still has 4 algorithms, so it still does a pretty good job of keeping track of those sorts of things.
What happens if, say, the receptionist or the secretary who's using the console logs onto one machine one day and then is in a different office on another machine? Does it follow you? Does the configuration in here follow you like it does the Skype groups and what have you?
It absolutely does. Yep, it's all stored in a SQL database on our server or stored locally on the particular client. So, it'll follow you right with wherever you go. So.
Cool. Awesome. So the predictive dialer, can it make automatic decisions on where to forward to, so the operator doesn't actually have to right click and say send a call to Anna, for instance?
As far as doing automatic stuff, we don't quite have that mode yet. Just sort of for safety, we have the human touch, I guess, from that standpoint. But for scaling that out, we've envisioned this going forward as maybe a service that we would turn into an API that call centers could use, because that would be very handy. You know, if you call tech support, you get disconnected. If you could automatically be connected right back to the last person you spoke to, that would be useful for you and, you know, the company handling the tech supports.
Yeah. So could you use the OC console as a sort of a mini contact center type scenario?
A lot of places do. Yeah, it does a lot of a similar functionality. If you use, say, you know, response groups or something to deliver calls, we can provide a lot of real-time information as to, you know, what calls are waiting, who else is logged in. So if, you know, I need to take lunch when there's two people available, I can see that sort of stuff. So a lot of places do use it as sort of a...
I noticed there on the response group setting that it said wallboard. So do you have a separate wallboard function that you... displays a nice graphic on a big screen in the room, for instance?
We built one that does work sort of as a web service that you can do that.
Yeah.
The problem is it's really built kind of to scale for one front-end server. It doesn't deploy very well if you've got, you know, 40 pools or things like that. There'd have to be a middleman in the middle to collect all that data from all those. We haven't quite gone there yet because everything seems to be moving to the cloud right now, so it's...
Yeah. That's it. So does this come with call recording as well? Do I have ability to record calls coming in, inbound, outbound, etc.?
We do. Actually, we wrote it's not running right now, but we wrote a it's actually free. It's on TechNet if you want to get it. But we actually wrote a free call recorder program that will take a phone call. It'll convert it to an MP3. Yeah. It can also, if you use the Bing Cognitive Speech API, you can grab a key from there. It can transcribe it into text when you're done. So then you can have searchable text. So if you want to search for, you know, the last time you said this word in the last 500 conversations you recorded, it'll show you a list and you can pick and listen to those.
Yeah, that's good. And the phone books, so I guess it comes with an address book. So we're looking at Skype address book and Exchange, I would imagine, or do you have your own address book?
Yeah, we do a number of things differently. So obviously the groups in your Skype for Business client, we can pull those over, but we take that a step further and we actually go into Active Directory and kind of do a deep dive and build everything out by department as well. So for example, if I want to find, you know, somebody who's not busy in accounting, I don't have to make an accounting group over here and add everybody to it and try to maintain all that mass. We can just sort of roll that automatically from AD.
Okay, cool.
The other address books, I mean, I guess here we just have a different view. So if you prefer more of a vCard view, you can look at that. But then we provide a personal address book for the operator if there's external numbers that they don't want to, you know, fill up their Outlook with.
Can we share, if you create your personal address book, can you share that out with other OC?
The best way to do that would be to use the global address book, because that's actually visible to everybody. So then one person can put a number in and everybody can see it.
Yeah, okay, that's good. What's the secure messaging? I just noticed that on the top.
Secure messaging is an add-on that we developed that goes kind of hand-in-hand with our medical connector. So in a lot of situations where if I was using this in the hospital, I want to be able to look up, you know, a patient name so we can actually talk to their EMR HMR system, and they can look up a person by name.
Yeah.
Well, then they can automatically transfer calls. We'll show a little bit more data to you, like they can pull out, you know, who the doctor is or who their, you know, nurse is, and transfer calls to those folks as well. But the secure messaging kind of goes with that. A lot of hospitals are getting away from the old, you know, handheld pager devices. So they're using apps on their phone that are, you know, HIPAA compliant secure messaging. So we work with a couple different ones there. TigerText and OnPage are the two that we currently have users kind of interacting with. So that way they can send those messages from here without having another app open.
Yeah. Okay. So the console, I guess the medical sector is one use case for this. So where you showed the two doctors on the screen, I can't remember what you clicked to get to it. I'm guessing that could be customized to, you know, if it was a different sector, let's say it was education or government, for instance.
Yeah, that's our related people function, and what that does, it just acts different in the if it knows it's a medical use. Normally, what that related people would get you in a normal office would be something like this, where, you know, I need to talk to Doug. Well, sorry, he's busy. So I can transfer to his manager or his assistant, secretary, people in the same department, people with the same title, people who share the same manager, those sorts of things. So it's a nice, quick way to sort of build out the tree of the organization.
And this is all coming from AD properties in exchange.
If your client server is, if you're just like a standalone client on an island alone, we can build that from a combination of what we get from the local client plus Exchange. So
yeah, cool. And obviously the keypad is if you want to dial numbers, a DTMF keypad. What's the
management? DTMF would be if I'm on a call and I need to, you know, enter a 6-digit conference or something, I can actually paste it here and push this and it'll do it one at a time for me, so I don't have to push the buttons.
Cool.
If you want to do a number, all you have to do is just put a number in here and we'll generate the record. Right.
Just a click and dial. So I noticed that the Skype for Business client isn't running in minimized mode, so a lot of attendant consoles run with the Skype client minimized. So you guys, can we work within the operator console and Skype client simultaneously?
Yep, you can go interchangeable. There's two ways you can do it. You can do it in, and the name is slipping my mind right now, but it's I know what you're talking about. If you do that, then you have to handle all the messaging and all the other aspects of it with your own custom windows and things like that. So we just let them run side by side. I mean, you can obviously minimize it out of the way, so it's not there. But it just talks directly.
Yeah. So the console, is that predominantly for voice and video? The messaging would be handled by the Skype client. Is that correct?
Correct. And we'll go through the work of, you know, what's if you're an operator, for you and I, when we're maybe on one call at a time, it's not a big deal to have a call window here.
Yeah.
But if you've got two or three calls, then it starts to get to be a lot to chase around the screen. So we'll just minimize those and kind of provide all that information in a small little scrollable box here. So they can flip between calls easy.
How many calls can they take in a queue?
They could have as many as the Skype client can support. I mean, we have no limitation other than that, I guess.
Yeah.
And we can do things like, if we have two calls and we want to put, you know, this call, or we had five calls, we want to put two or three of them together, we can do that, and they can join calls together in a meeting. That's also nice. I've seen that in the medical field where, you know, we've got a call in, we need to find, you know, the doctor. So we've called 10 numbers, we finally got a hold of them. I just want to join these two calls together. I don't want to have to hang up and then try to transfer back to wherever I called that person. So
yeah,
you do a lot of things like that are just time savers.
Cool. You do console transfer as well?
Oh, certainly. Yep, pretty much every kind of transfer you can think of. And in our program, you can do it any way you want. You can double-click on somebody. You can drag a call to somebody. You can right-click. If you want to do attendant transfer every time and never get asked again, you can just check this box. And then every time you did a drag and drop, it would just always go to that mode.
Yeah, that's cool.
And yeah, we pop up some options. So when we do an attended transfer, as soon as that second leg gets answered by our bot over here, we can complete the transfer, park it, do whatever we want with it. So.
Yeah, and are you utilizing Skype conferences to do most of the advanced call flow?
The advanced transfer, you don't need to do any sort of conference with. It's funny, they just added the consult button to the client itself, but the code behind to be able to do that's been there for as long as I've been working with it. So it's
they just lit that feature up as standard thing.
Yep.
Fair enough. I guess there are three operator consoles that I can think of, without naming them. In the market for Skype for Business. So what sets Bridge above the rest? Why should customers come and buy the operator console from you guys rather than look at competitors?
Sure. Well, experience is number one. We've done this for 10 years. We've done it with the biggest companies in the world. So we've built this thing to scale out to where if you've got 50 users or 500,000 users, we're built to run exactly the same against any set of data. So that's one. Two, really we talk to everything. I mean, it's one program that can talk to, anybody's calendar without having to share it if you want. It can talk to your, CRM information. So if you've got a call and you want to find out, all right, who owns this in sales? Who should I transfer this to? It's just a single click. It'll talk to, Dynamics CRM, show me the information, here it comes. And I got one click, I can transfer that call off to that general. So it's...
And the CRM piece, is it just Dynamics that you integrate with, or can you integrate with other CRM platforms, like say ServiceNow, for instance?
Currently, we are doing Dynamics. We are roadmapping, probably adding Salesforce next to have a similar functionality.
Yeah, on a business needs basis, you expand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. So obviously the operator console works for Skype, but if I've got a multi-platform phone system, so I've got a Avaya, Cisco, Nortel, and some Skype, does this operator console work in all those environments?
We've seen it a lot. A lot of people are transitioning, one way or the other, and they've got half and half or something like that. As long as they've got sort of dialable numbers and, SIP trunks set up properly to go between the two phone systems.
Yeah.
But what's nice about us being able to pull a lot of that information from Active Directory is then we've got, everybody's number on the Avaya side, and you search for their name, you click, it generates out the tel URI, and it transfers the call. And it works pretty seamlessly. On the Cisco side, we can do even a little bit more because we did, like I kind of mentioned, cut our teeth over there. Let me show you real quick here. One thing that's kind of neat. So if you are in a hybrid, say, Cisco and Skype for Business world, one of the big complaints is if you are using two different systems, maybe you're using Skype for Business for everybody's IM, but there's still a few Cisco phones that are holdovers. You can't tell who's on the phone. So we have a product called LICC. So when this Susan Larson answers the phone here, we can actually change her Skype for Business status to show that she's on a phone on the other phone system. So that's sort of a nice thing in a transition if you're migrating from Cisco to Skype for Business or using them together.
It's great presence type of thing. Yeah, that's cool.
And it can also dial as well. So if they need to, make a call, with their desk phone, they can use Skype for Business to initiate that to you.
That's good. And how is the operator console licensed? Is it per user, per software installation?
It depends entirely on how you want to deploy it. If you want to buy a standalone client, then yes, it's just a $1,500 per the user device that it's installed on.
Okay.
If you want to go client server, which most people in the enterprise tend to do anyway, we have a bundle for $2,000 US retail that gets you the server components and two concurrent licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that means I can install it on 50 machines, just two of them can be in at a time. If I want to add additional users, then it's just $500 a user after that. So if you add 100 users, you can see where that gets to be pretty nice price deal compared to 100 standalone users.
Yeah. So for your server, so what sort of specs and requirements are required? needed.
Very, very little. Just a virtual machine with a couple of cores and a couple of gigs of memory to run, you know, Windows 2012 or something like that. SQL Express is plenty. We don't have any large data requirements where we need a full SQL. That, you know, that's just fine for what we do.
Yeah. There's no trusted application or anything like that from the server side. It's just purely storage, is it?
There doesn't have to be, but you can enable it if you want. If you do, you get a couple other bonuses. Like you can see who's, say, call forwarded or simmering their phone. So yeah. This guy's got it set to simmering, so I can actually look up and see where it's simmering, which is kind of nice before I transfer a call. I can also do things if I've got that where I can change his call forwarding or simmering or change his presence. Like if he's out sick or something, I could go change it to out sick today and mark it for everybody. So there's a couple advantages. I guess if you wanted to enable that, you can. It's not required. But.
Cool. Is there any sort of back-end server console that we have to configure up, or is it all intuitive from the client?
As far as back-end configuration on the server, it would just pretty much be telling it, you know, where the database is, that sort of stuff. It's pretty minimal.
So it's pretty much out of the box, and you're up and running within a day or so, I guess.
One of the nice things is we actually provide the service to help you install it for no cost, so there's really no risk to even try it. We'll get everybody set up exactly the way they want out of the box so they have a good experience. So.
Yeah, cool. And for the operators, so you know, this obviously works very well for inbound calling. If I have an attendant or an operator who needs to do callbacks, can I schedule callbacks at specific times in the day for users, you know, to catch up?
Yep, you can. You can make reminders if you want to call a particular number. This is kind of a neat thing I might just talk about real quick.
Yeah, sure.
We have this feature called Squat. So it's a strange name, but it's basically a schedule quick user ad hoc team meeting.
How long did it take you to come up with that name?
I don't know how long it took him to come up with the name, but what it does is kind of cool. Say I've got a group of people that I deal with all the time, and I want to have just a 5-minute call with them. I don't want to go and schedule a calendar meeting and have everybody have to figure out when they're available for an hour. This is a 5-minute conversation we need to have. But I don't want to sit and tag them and wait and try to figure out when they're all available to do it. So this just automates that process. So I can have 10 people in here. When I start this, I can make some notes so it reminds me what the conversation is supposed to be about whenever everybody's available. And it'll just go sleep, and as soon as everybody's available, it'll pop up and say, hey, all these guys are available to talk about this message that you put in there. Do you want to start a meeting? And it creates a conference and invites everybody, and just a kind of a cool little time saver.
That's pretty awesome, that is. I like that feature. That's cool.
There's also, if you're like me and the white hurts your eyes after, you know, a long day, you can change the colors on this thing to be pretty much whatever you want. If you want a dark Skype theme that I'm sure they'll get someday, they've got it on the consumer side, you can do, you know, make it look however you want, really.
So you got the Mac look already, right? So I guess this is, while we're on the subject of Mac, this is just a Windows application. Do you have a Mac version?
We don't really. The only way to talk to the Mac right now with the developer tools would be doing UCWA, which is what the client, the Mac client uses on its side. And it's honestly, for a tenant console, I'm not sure it's got all the features it needs yet. For example, I don't know if there's any way other than to try to build sort of ad hoc conferences and things on the fly to do an attended transfer or things like that. And dealing with multiple calls would be a little bit interesting, but you know, not to say that it won't happen in the future when the tools get a little bit more polished for the developers. But
sure. I mean, before you called out a limitation with the call park for Cloud PBX Skype Online. Aside from that, will the operator console work with Skype for Business Online users as well?
Yeah, it sure does. There's, you know, the only limitations really are the things that they're still adding, you know, from their side with the, you know, queuing and things like that. As those become available, more people will probably migrate to that for call center stuff. But
yeah, I suppose the call queues piece is probably going to be an interesting avenue for you guys, right? With APIs and stuff coming out for it, hopefully soon. So it should be quite exciting. But obviously, now instant messaging and making a voice call over the internet is sort of old news. Everybody does it now. It's like, yeah, what's next? So the next big thing's bots. So have you been working on any bots right now? And what sort of use cases in UC do you see the use of bots?
Sure. Yeah, actually, I've written several blog articles to try to get people started with how to work with the Microsoft bot framework.
Yeah.
We've actually got a pretty simple one on our website. Really, our use case is probably different than some other people might have. Primarily, we use it for just a way for people who can't seem to navigate the website correctly to find what they're looking for. Maybe after hours, they can just ask it questions. You know, if they want to know this Lick product here, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
We'll use the Microsoft Lewis stuff for the AI on the back end to try to help determine what what they're asking. So, in that case, you can return just simple replies with "Here's how you get a quote." You can email our sales team or call us here for more info.
Sure.
Like I showed you before, there's some things you can do, sort of like you would get from an auto attendant, where I could say, "Who is Doug Rutledge?" And so if you wanted to build out a company directory or something like that, you can certainly do that with clickable buttons and whatnot. The nice thing about bots is you can stick them a lot of different places. The framework will generate a lot of the code for you, so you can put it as an iframe on a website, or if you want to incorporate it into Microsoft Teams, it's really simple to do. And it's all the same bot that you created running. It just has a little bit different face to it.
Yeah.
You can do it in consumer Skype as well. One thing I think that's going to be maybe I don't want to say game changer for bots, but with the trusted application API that we've been working with for a number of months now, that just became public preview, the ability to be able to have your bot framework bot be able to interact with your Skype for Business Online bot and do call audio, with a single click, where it can make a call and talk to the right person as well, is going to be nice, because you could do it with Skype, but we're all Skype for Business, not Skype, so then you got two products open. And
No, it's really cool. I mean, the bots is allowing us to get a level of information without having to bug someone to get that get the information. So it gives you the answers you want quicker, I would imagine.
You could make it into an intelligent search engine for your web page is one easy way to think of it for what we're doing. A lot of places have taken it to where you can order things and do commerce with them, which is pretty cool. We haven't quite gotten that far yet.
So I can't type in there "buy" and I'll buy Fridge OC yet. Then. So no, that's cool. Moving on to the other elements of 365 and. Obviously, we're all going cloud first, and we're kind of forgetting about on-premise these days, which is just a sign of the times. But obviously, the suite that we've got in Office 365, we've got obviously business intelligence in Power BI, and I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on how Power BI can improve insight into UC, whether that be quality monitoring, CDR records, billing, that sort of thing. So I just wondered if you've ever had any exposure to Power BI for those sources.
Absolutely. Like you said, we're kind of in a transition where some people will get drug kicking and screaming from on-prem to the cloud, but that's the direction that Microsoft wants to go. So it's going to be sort of on them to give us the tools to hook Power BI to some of those things that don't exist right now. I think once they get a few things that they're working on for sort of a business case with the call queues and all those things sort of baked and done and ready for the consumer, that we'll see more data reporting. We might see a content pack for Power BI to hook into the Office 365 voice stuff and be able to look at, like what you're saying, call quality stuff would be nice. CDR lookups, you know, who called 911, you know, an hour ago, those sorts of things. You can do a number of things with the, if you're brave, you can do a number of things with the on-prem LCS CDR databases. Like I mentioned, the biggest hurdle is a lot of the reports that Microsoft has built into that are stored procedures. Stored procedures don't lend themselves well to Power BI in a dynamic real-time data fashion. So that's a little bit of a hurdle. There's a couple ways that you get around some of it, but you can display, you know, some reports pretty easily. There's a lot of things you can do simple SQL queries on and generate nice looking graphs, which, you know, as humans, that's a lot easier to see that things are going well or bad.
And your IT manager really love graphs rather than Excel sheets with lots of numbers in, right?
I've done a little bit with the CDR stuff too. I'll show you this. I don't know if there's any real important customer data or anything in there, but you can do a lot of different things in that regard as well. So,
cool. Well, I think our time is up now. So all that remains to be said from me is thank you for your time and thank you for showing Bridge Operator Console and all your other good stuff, and we'll see you again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Not a problem. Thank you.